Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the Canto 2, which is entitled The Cosmic Manifestation. And we're in Chapter 9, Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. And we're continuing on text number 36. And today's topic will be entitled Sarvatra Sarvada. So we'll know soon enough what that means. So the verse again. So we get to chant this verse a few times. Actually, we should chant the verse, each line, three times. And then after that, you should write it down. And then you should memorize these four verses, actually. They're good verses to memorize. But we'll just chant the verse again real quick. Etavadeva jignasyam. Tatva jignasunatmanaha. Anvaya vyattarikabhyam. Yachyat sarvatra sarvada. Etavadeva jignasyam. Tatva jignasunatmanaha. Anvaya vyattarikabhyam. Yachyat sarvatra sarvada. Etavadeva jignasyam. Tatva jignasunatmanaha. Anvaya vyattarikabhyam. Yachyat sarvatra sarvada. Anyone else? Or sorry, just go on. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're not going to do word for words then, except for the two words that we titled the class as the last two words, Sarvatra, in all space and time, and Sarvada, in all circumstances. So the translation again. A person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So I'll just go right to the purport. And we're not getting a connection here, so let's see if we could. Sorry, I had a connection to the internet, but it looks like it's not getting the internet here. You might have to because it's not going. Yeah, thank you. Maybe I'm not on the right network. But I should be. I'm on the Apple TV. I might have to stop sharing here. Okay. Now. This one doesn't show source. Maybe menu. Nope. Oh, here it is. Okay. HDMI what to? Okay. Yeah, to go back. Okay. So let me go to mine. Follow up from my side. Okay. Looks like I'm on the wrong one here. Sorry. Okay, so Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada therefore comments on the words Sarvatra Sarvada. That's what the title of the class was. In the sense that the principles of Bhakti Yoga or devotional service to the Lord are apt in all circumstances. For example, Bhakti Yoga is recommended in all the revealed scriptures. It is performed by all authorities. It is important in all places. It is useful in all causes and effects, etc. As far as all the revealed scriptures are concerned, he quotes from the Skanda Purana on the topics of Brahma and Narada as follows. Samsare smin mahagore janma mrityu samakule pujanam vasudevasya tarakam varibhi smritam. In the material world, which is full of darkness and dangers, combined with birth and death, and full of different anxieties, the only way to get out of the great entanglement is to accept loving transcendental devotional service to Lord Vasudeva. This is accepted by all classes of philosophers. Srila Jiva Goswami also quotes another common passage, which is found in three Puranas, namely the Padma Purana, Skanda Purana, and Linga Purana. It runs as follows. Aloja sarva sastrani vicharya chapuna puna vidame kam sanispanam deyo narayanaha sada. By scrutinizingly reviewing all the revealed scriptures and judging them again and again, it is now concluded that Lord Narayan is the absolute or the supreme absolute truth, and thus he alone should be worshipped. The same truth is also indirectly described in the Garuda Purana as follows. Param gatopi vedanam sarva sastarta vedyapi yono saveshvara bhakti. Even though one may have gone to the other side of all the Vedas, and even though one is well versed in all the revealed scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he must be considered the lowest of mankind. Similarly, it is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, indirectly as follows. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana Sarvar gunas tatra samaste suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahaguna mano ratenasati davato bahi. One who has unflinching devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead must have all the good qualities of the demigods. And contrarily, one who is not a devotee of the Lord must be hovering in the darkness of mental speculation and thus must be engaged in material impermanence. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.18 says, Shabda Brahmani Nishnato Nanish Nayat Pareyadi Shramas Tasya Shrama Palo Hi Adenum Iva Rakshataha. One may be well versed in all the transcendental literature of the Vedas, but if he fails to be acquainted with the Supreme, then it must be concluded that all his education is like the burden of a beast, or like one keeping a cow without milking capacity. Similarly, the liberty of discharging loving transcendental service to the Lord is invested in everyone, even the women, the sudras, the forest tribes, and any other living beings born in sinful conditions. Tevai vedanti atitranti cha deva mayam stri sudrahuna sabada apipappa jivaha yadi adbutta krama paryana silasikas siksas tiryagjana api kimu shutta daraniye. That's from 2746. The lowest of human beings can be elevated to the highest stage of devotional life if they are trained by the bona fide spiritual master, well-versed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. If the lowest can be so elevated, then what to speak of the highest, who are well-versed in Vedic knowledge? The conclusion is that devotional service to the Lord is open for all, regardless of who they are. That is a confirmation of its application for all kinds of performers of the service. Therefore, the devotional service of the Lord, with perfect knowledge, the training of a bona fide spiritual master, is advised for everyone, even if one happens not to be a human being. This is confirmed in the Garuda Purana as follows. Kita pakshi mriganam cha haro sanyasta chittasam urdvam eva gatim manye. Even the worms, birds, and beasts are assured of elevation to the highest perfectional life if they are completely surrendered to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So what to speak of the philosophers amongst the human beings? This is a very encouraging part of the purport. Therefore, there is no need to seek properly qualified candidates for discharging devotional service to the Lord. Let them be either well-behaved or ill-trained. Let them be either learned or fools. Let them be either grossly attached or in the renounced order of life. Let them be liberated souls or desirous of salvation. Let them be inexpert in the discharge of devotional service or expert in the same. All of them can be elevated to the supreme position by discharging devotional service under the proper guidance. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:30-32 as follows. Apichet sudaracho bhajate mam ananya bhak sarareva cha samantavya samyag vyavisito hisa mam hi partavya parshritya yepishu papayonayaha striyo vaishastata sudras tepiyanti param gatim. Even if a person is fully addicted to all sorts of sinful acts, if he happens to be engaged in the loving transcendental service of the Lord under proper guidance, he is to be considered the most perfect holy man without a doubt. And thus any person, whatsoever or whosoever he or she may be, even the fallen women, the less intelligent laborer, the dull mercantile man, or even a man lower than all these, can attain the highest perfection of life by going back home, back to Godhead, provided he or she takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in all earnestness. This sincere earnestness is the only qualification that can lead one to the highest perfectional stage of life. And unless and until such real earnestness is aroused, there is a difference between cleanliness or uncleanliness, learning or non-learning in the material estimation. Fire is always fire, and thus if someone touches the fire, knowingly or unknowingly, the fire will act in its own way without discrimination. The principle is Harir Harati Papani Dushita Chitar Apishmitaha. The all-powerful Lord can purify the devotee of all sinful reactions, just as the sun can sterilize all sorts of infections by its powerful rays. Attraction for material enjoyment cannot act upon a pure devotee of the Lord. There are hundreds and thousands of aphorisms in the revealed scriptures. Atmaramas Chamunayo Even the self-reliant souls are also attracted by the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Kechit kevalaya kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha. Simply by hearing and chanting, one becomes a great devotee of Lord Vasudev. Nachala bhagavat padaravindal lavami shardam apisa vaishnavagrayaha. A person who does not move from the lotus feet of the Lord even for a moment or a second is to be considered the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Bhagavat parshadatam prapte matsevaya pratipatam te. The pure devotees are convinced of attaining the association of the personality of guided, and thus they are always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, in all continents, in all planets, in all universes, devotional service to the Lord, or bhakti yoga, is current. And that is a statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam and allied scriptures. Everywhere means in every part of the creation of the Lord. The Lord can be served by all the senses, or even simply by the mind. The South Indian Brahmana, who served the Lord simply on the strength of his mind, also factually realized the Lord. Success is guaranteed for a devotee who fully engages any one of his senses in the mode of devotional service. The Lord can be served by any ingredient, even the most common commodity, a flower, a leaf, a fruit, or a little water, which are available in any part of the universe and without cost. And thus the Lord is served universally by the universal entities. He can be served simply by hearing. He can be served simply by chanting or reading about his activities. He can be served simply by adoring him and accepting him. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that one can serve the Lord by offering the results of one's own work. It does not matter what one does. Generally, men may say that whatever they are doing is inspired by God, but that is not all. One should actually work on behalf of God as a servant of God. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yat karosi yat asnasi, yaj juhosi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kunteya, tat kurusva mad arpanam. Do whatever you like, or whatever may be easier for you to do. Eat whatever you may eat. Sacrifice whatever you can sacrifice. Give whatever you may give in charity. And do whatever you may undertake in penance. But everything must be done for him only. If you do business, or if you accept some employment, do so on behalf of the Lord. Whatever you may eat, you may offer the same to the Lord, and be assured that he will return the food after eating it himself. He is a complete whole, and therefore whatever he may eat as offered by the devotee is accepted because of the devotee's love. But again, it is returned as prasad for the devotee so that he can be happy by eating. In other words, be a servant of God and live peacefully in that consciousness, ultimately returning home back to Godhead. In the Skanda Purana, Yasya smriti cha namuktya tapo yagna kriyadishu nunam sampurnatam meti sadyo vandetam achutam. I offer my obeisances unto him, the infallible, because simply by either remembering him or vibrating his holy name, one can attain the perfection of all penances, sacrifices, or fruitive activities. And this process can be universally followed. It is enjoined. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrene bhakti yogena yajeti purusham param. Though a person be full of desires or have no desires, he may follow this path of infallible bhakti yoga for complete perfection. One need not be anxious to propitiate each and every demigod and goddess, because the root of all of them is the personality of Godhead. As by pouring water on the root of a tree, one serves and enlivens all the branches and leaves, so by rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, one automatically serves every god and goddess without extraneous effort. The Lord is all-pervading, and therefore service to Him is also all-pervading. This fact is corroborated in the Skanda Purana as follows. Archite deva deveshe sankha chakra garadare archita sarva deva shur yata sarva gato hari. When the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, who carries in His hands a conch shell, wheel, club, and lotus flower, is worshipped, certainly all other demigods are worshipped automatically, because Hari, the Personality of Godhead, is all-pervading. Therefore, in all cases, namely nominative, objective, causative, dative, ablative, possessive, and supportive, everyone is benefited by such transcendental loving service to the Lord. The man who worships the Lord himself who is worshipped, the cause for which the Lord is worshipped, the source of supply, the place where such worship is done, etc., everything is benefited by such an action. Even during the annihilation of the mature world, the process of bhakti yoga can be applied. Kalene nasta pralai viniyam. The Lord is worshipped in devastation because He protects the Vedas from being annihilated. He is worshipped in every millennium or yuga, as it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krite yad jayato vishnum, tritayam yajato makai, dvapare paricharyayam, kalotadari kirtanat. In the Vishnu Purana, it is written, Sahane stan mahachidram namoha cha sachavi rama yan muhurtam ksanam vapi vasudevam na chintayet. If even for a moment remembrance of Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is missed, that is the greatest loss. That is the greatest illusion, and that is the greatest anomaly. The Lord can be worshipped in all stages of life. For instance, even in the wombs of their mothers, Maharaj Prahlad and Maharaj Parikshit worshipped the Lord. Even in his very childhood, at the age of only 5 years, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the Lord. Even in full youth, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the Lord. And even at the last stage of his frustrated old age, Maharaj Dhritarashtra worshipped the Lord. Ajamya worshipped the Lord even at the point of death. And Chitraketa worshipped the Lord even in hell. In heaven and in hell. So he was in heaven and hell. In the Narasimha Purana, it is said that as the hellish inhabitants began to chant the holy name of the Lord, they began to be elevated from hell towards heaven. Durvasa Muni has also supported this view. Mucetayannamni udit. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the inhabitants of hell became released from their hellish persecution. So the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, as given by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, is Etan nirvidyamananam ichattam akuto bayam yoginam nipanitam harernamanukirtanam. O King, it is finally decided that everyone, namely those in the renounced order of life, the mystics, and the enjoyers of fruity work, should chant the holy name of the Lord fearlessly to achieve the desired success in their pursuits. Similarly, as indicated indirectly in various places in revealed scriptures, one, even though one is well versed in all the Vedas and scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, he is considered to be the lowest of mankind. Two, in the Garuda Purana, Brihanaradiya Purana, and Padma Purana, the same is repeated. What is the use of Vedic knowledge and penances for one is devoid, who is devoid of devotional service to the Lord? Three, what is the comparison of thousands of Prajapatis to one devotee of the Lord? 4. Sukadeva Goswami said that neither the ascetic, nor one who is greatly munificent, nor one who is famous, nor the great philosopher, nor the great occultist, nor anyone else can achieve the desired result without being engaged in the service of the Lord. 5. Even if a place is more glorious than heaven, if there is no glorification of the Lord of Vaikuntha or his pure devotee, it should at once be quitted. And 6. The pure devotee refuses to accept all the 5 different types of liberation in order to be engaged in the service of the Lord. The final conclusion, therefore, is that the glories of the Lord must be always and everywhere proclaimed. One should hear about his glories. One should chant about his glories. And one should always remember his glories, because that is the highest perfectional stage of life. As far as fruitive work is concerned, it is limited to an enjoyable body. As far as yoga is concerned, it is limited to the acquirement of mystic power. As far as empiric philosophy is concerned, it is limited to the attainment of transcendental knowledge. And as far as transcendental knowledge is concerned, it is limited to attainment of salvation. Even if they are adopted, there is every chance of discrepancies in discharging the particular type of functions. But adaptation to the transcendental devotional service of the Lord has no limit, nor is there fear of falling down. The process automatically reaches the final stage by the grace of the Lord. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, there is an apparent requisite for knowledge. But in the higher stage, there is no necessity of such knowledge. The best and guaranteed path of progress is therefore engagement in bhakti yoga, pure devotional service. The cream of Srimad Bhagavatam is the foregoing 4 slokas, as sometimes squeezed out by the impersonalist for different interpretations in their favor. But it should be carefully noted that the 4 slokas were first described by the personality of God in himself. And thus the impersonalist has no scope to enter into them because he has no conception of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the impersonalist may squeeze out any interpretations from them, but such interpretations will never be accepted by those who are taught in disciplic succession from Brahma and will be cleared up in the following verses. Besides that, the Shruti confirms that the Supreme Truth, Absolute Personality of Godhead, never reveals himself to anyone who is falsely proud of his academic knowledge. The Shruti mantra clearly says, Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na metaya na bahuna shrutena yami vaishas vrinute tena labhyas tashasya atma vivrinute tanum swam. The whole matter is explained by the Lord himself, and one who has no approach to the Lord in his personal feature can rarely understand the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam without being taught by the Bhagavatas in the disciplic succession. Wow. That was pretty amazing. So I'd like to go back, maybe. We can switch to my presentation. Is it possible? I'll just go to source again. Okay. All right. There we go. Okay, so here's a beautiful painting of Ramananda Roy with Lord Chaitanya, showing his features. Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, what should all living entities constantly remember? And Ramananda Roy replied, the chief object of remembrance are always the Lord's holy name, qualities, and pastimes. And Prabhupada refers to a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2236, which we'll go to later. But he mentions there that he concludes that the business of the living entities is to always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every circumstances. The Lord should be heard about, glorified, and remembered by all human beings. And as we heard, even by other types of entities. So here's a nice verse, which is from the Adi 156, which is actually a repeat of our today's verse. And here it talks about the theme of our class, Sarvatra, everywhere, Sarvada, always. A person interested in transcendental knowledge must therefore always directly and indirectly inquire about it to know the all-pervading truth. Kind of a simplified version of the verse. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport there that those who are serious about knowledge of the transcendental world, which is far beyond the material cosmic creation, must approach a bona fide spiritual master and learn the science both directly and indirectly. And Prabhupada defines that directly and indirectly as to avoid, you directly execute the process of devotional service and indirectly avoid the impediments of progress. So in that particular purport, he also summarizes these four verses of the Chaturshloki. And it's very quickly he says that that first verse, starting with the Eva, what is it? How does it start? So you learned it. Yeah. So yeah, that's it. So he says the transcendental nature of the Lord and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is explained. So that's the first verse. The second verse further explains that the Lord is detached from the workings of the material energy, Maya, and the living entities, although parts and parcels of the Lord, are prone to be controlled by the external energy. Therefore, although they are spiritual, in the material world, they're encaged in bodies of material energy. And the eternal relationship of the living entity with the Supreme Lord is explained in that verse. And then the next verse instructs that the Supreme Personality guided by his inconceivable energies is simultaneously one with and different from the living entities and the material energy. This knowledge is called Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. When an individual living entity surrenders to the Supreme Lord Krishna, he can then develop natural transcendental love for him. The surrendering process should be primary concern of the human being. And the last verse, it is said that a conditioned soul must ultimately approach a bona fide spiritual master and try to understand perfectly the material and spiritual worlds and his own existential position. And here are the words that we talked about directly and indirectly suggests what we should do. So next, Chitraketu is mentioned in the purport. And here it's also showing where this is where he had just finished talking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally, Chitraketu. And then he was enjoying in his airplane with the women of the Vidyadhara planet. And he engaged in the congregational chanting of the Lord. So he's flying around, and one day he traveled and he went to this Sumeru mountain, and he saw Parvati and Lord Shiva, which Parvati was on his lap and they were embracing. And he actually laughed out loud at them. So he kind of joked with them. And then Parvati became angry and she cursed him. And then it's interesting what Chitraketu said, because he was always glorifying the Lord. And this is what he said. Actually, this is kind of a summary. Everyone in human society enjoys happiness and distress according to his past deeds, and in this way travels to the material world. Therefore, no one is responsible for his happiness and distress when he's controlled by the influence of material nature in the material world. Yet, one thinks himself the doer of everything. In this material world, which is made of the external energy of the Supreme Lord, one is sometimes cursed and sometimes favored. And thus, he sometimes enjoys the upper planetary systems and sometimes suffers in the lower planetaries. But all these situations are the same because they're within the material world. None of these positions has any factual existence, for all of them are temporary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate controller, because the material world is created, maintained, and annihilated under his control, while he nonetheless remains neutral to these different transformations of the material world in time and space. The material external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in charge of this material world. The Lord helps the world by creating situations for the living entities within it. So the actual verse where he says that, he actually mentions this, our theme today is sarvata sarvada, everywhere and always. And he's saying that we're all deluded by ignorance. We wander in the forest of this mature world, enjoying happiness and distress resulting from our past misdeeds, everywhere and at all times. So this is what's happening. Either everywhere and at all times, what we're doing, we're going to be affected by that. So we have to be very careful how we act. So this is called the karma chakra, the wheel of the results of one's karma. And in order to do that, we have to take up, as mentioned in these Shloki verses, especially the last one, this bhakti marga, devotional service, Krishna consciousness. So that's our remedy. That's the solution, is that we surrender to Krishna. So here we kind of describes the three modes of material nature. And in the purport to this particular verse, it's right paragraph right before I started reading. It talked about one's mind. It's the mind that generates different kinds of bodies and are suffering different kinds of material pangs. And as long as the mind is absorbed in fruitive activities, then the mind is absorbed in nescience and is sure to be subject to material bondage unless and until we develop transcendental love for God. And then also in this purport where we read, Prabhupada mentions this earnestness that doesn't matter who you are, that you can go to the highest place provided he or she takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in all earnestness. This sincere earnestness is the only qualification that can lead one to the highest perfectional stage of life. And unless until such real earnestness is aroused, there is a difference between cleanliness or uncleanliness, learning or non-learning in the material estimation. So this is an interesting word, earnestness. And it's characterized by or proceeding from an intense or serious state of mind. Like you're not frivolous, not light, but you're very serious. You know, you're concerned for what really matters. So you're grave, you know, in that way. And then, so that's very important that we have to be earnest and very serious and sincere. And he also mentioned in the purport where we read today that this bhakti yoga is current, meaning it's happening now. It's existing in the present time. It's not something for the past. And in the future and everywhere, it'll also be available. And everywhere means in every part, every place of Krishna's creation, far and wide, high and low, throughout everything. But Prabhupada mentions in a purport in the fourth canto that foolish people do not know that every individual soul is responsible for his own actions and reactions of life. And he continues, this Krishna consciousness movement, however, is educating people throughout the world and informing them how to conquer death. Harim vina na mityum taranti. One cannot conquer death without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that should be our intention. And intention is also an interesting word which implies a little more than what one has in mind. It's a determination to act in a certain way. You resolve to act. And actually a Sanskrit word for intention is sankalpa. Is that we have this tendency. It's like a material desire or determination or your thoughts. Or it could even refer to like lust. So every moment has a precise intention. And your intentions, they define everything. Like we have sankalpa and vikalpa. You either accept or you're rejecting something. And all this is based on monodharma, mental concoction. So we may have desires, but our intentions is what powers you. Have you heard that how it goes? Intention or energy follows intention, right? So how you're intending, you could be in these different modes of nature, what you're intending. You may be, your intention may be powered by fear. So you're just in ignorance and you're weakened and you're always, everything is deluded around you. Or your intention may be empowered by passion. You're always expecting something. You're doing something just simply for, you know, to get something. It's your ego. And it's also a very painful way to live, where your joy is determined by things that are outside of yourself. But if we have an intention powered by responsibility, it gets getting closer to love. It's an honorable way to live. It's more towards goodness. But we want intention powered by service, which is the highest of all, and that's transcendental goodness. And this is what's very powerful, is service. So we should be very eager to see how every moment, everywhere, every time, every circumstance, we should intend and be earnest in our activities to perform devotional service. So we have to develop that. And Prabhupada mentions in a purport in the Adilila that there's different grades of standard of prosperity. The standard of comfort and happiness conceived by a common man engaged in material labor is the lowest grade of happiness, for it's in relationship with the body. The highest standard of such body comfort is achieved by a fruited worker who by pious activities reaches the plane of heaven or the kingdom of creative gods with their delegated powers. But the conception of comfortable life in heaven is insignificant in comparison to the happiness enjoyed in the impersonal Brahman. And this Brahmananda, the spiritual bliss derived from impersonal Brahman, is like the water in the hoof print of a calf compared to the ocean of love of God. So just see, that's the highest perfection. And Prabhupada says that one should try to purchase a ticket to go back home, back to Godhead. And what's the price of that ticket? It's intense desire for it. So we have to have that earnest intent to have that desire to do that. And he says, for it is not easily awakened, even if one continually performs pious activities for thousands of lives, all mundane relationships are sure to be broken in course of time. But once one establishes a relationship with the personality Godhead in a particular rasa, it is never to be broken, even after the annihilation of the material world. So as mentioned in this verse, which is very encouraging, that we don't have to seek a properly qualified candidate for devotional service, whether they're well-behaved, ill-behaved, fools, learned, whatever, there actually can be candidates. And as far as religious principles are concerned, there's no consideration of the person, the country, the time, the circumstances. Devotional service, there's no consideration. It's transcendental to all such considerations. So whether one's a Hindu, Christian, Muslim, whatever they are, these are institutions for only a particular time, particular country. But these are all differences. But when it comes to devotional service, there's no hindrance. It's all transcendental to all these different things. It's transcendental to material considerations. So I'd like to just end with this one verse, which is referred to in regard to this verse. And it also continues the theme, Sarvatra Sarvada, everywhere and always. Which says, O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. So, Jai, thank you for your kind attention. Any comments, questions, realizations? Thank you. Jai. Prabhupada said this will bring the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. Mm-hmm.